The Splendor of You. Here is your host, Debbie Sansone Schlaprisi.
Hi, I'm Debbie Schlaprisi. Welcome to The Splendor of You. A dear friend of mine, I've talked about her before on the show. I refer to her as MB. And MB gave me another wonderful little adage that was, I thought, just so wise and enough to make me want to share it with all of you and to sort of step on that theme about our whole need. And honestly, our happiness is dependent upon our surrender to God. God's will versus my will. God being on the throne versus I'm on the throne. My divided heart versus heart for God. You know, the divided heart is the one where one minute, yeah, I love the Lord. He's the foundation of my life. I'm praying for it. God's will be done. Da, 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 da. On and on. I don't mean to be disrespectful to any of us in regards to our prayers, but you know the story. We're going on and we're there. And then the next minute, wow, this is taking way too long. You know what? Got to get moving here. Impatience takes over. I'm in this midst of praying, and all of a sudden, every thought, every desire, everything that I haven't done in my life starts coming forward. I'm exaggerating, but you get it. Coming forward, and it's like, got to do this, got to do that. Oh, I don't actually say, Jesus, I'll get to you later, but that is what can happen and does happen, sadly, at times in my life. So here's what MB shared with me. She said, and she was just doing it in passing. She was delivering a program and shared with me part of it. And what it was is this. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go farther, go together. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go farther, go together. The issue here at hand is letting God in that space of whatever's going on in our lives, to let God in. In order to do that, we have to do what? We have to pray. We have to move over, make the shift, and pray, and lift our minds and hearts to God. There's a beautiful quote of St. Teresa, the Little Flower, about what is prayer. And this is what she says. For me, prayer is a surge of the heart. It is a simple look turned toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and of love, embracing both trial and joy. The Catechism tells us, what? If you knew the gift of God, the wonder of prayer is revealed beside the well where we come seeking water. There, Christ comes to meet every human being, that's you and me. I sometimes like to put my name there, so I'm just not part of the huge generic group. So let's put our names there, where Christ comes to meet you and me. It is He who first seeks us and asks for a drink. Jesus thirsts. His asking arises from the depths of God's desire for us. Whether you and I realize it or not, prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with ours. God thirsts that we may thirst for Him. That's St. Augustine. It's pretty powerful when we think about the fact of the simplicity of what St. Teresa tells us and what St. Augustine tells us. That God actually thirsts? That God thirsts that we may thirst for Him? I think it was St. Teresa of Calcutta, you know, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who talked about that, who said that what truly, truly touched her heart and ignited her faith was that whole connection for her about I thirst, Jesus thirsting. So my friends, for you and I to live a life of any level of happiness, we have to do what? We have to do it together with God. And the other part is, He has to take the lead. That is, if we want happiness. He has to take the lead. Sometimes we relate to happiness as, you know, absolute total pleasure. Happiness is deeper than that. Pleasure is based upon a particular situation or a moment. Happiness is more of a condition, a way of being. And happiness, the only way, and this is coming from the fathers of our faith, It comes from our catechism. It comes from Scripture. The only way is to remember what? That God is on the throne. It's His will, not my will. As my spiritual director said, Debbie, God is on the throne, not you. He's on the throne. So when you and I are struggling and we're going through those tough times, and it's like, could I please fast forward so I can look back and say, oh, I see how the dots connected. Oh, yeah, that really worked out well. Can I get to that place so I can look back and see how it all worked together? And yet you and I are called to do what? We are called to have faith in the midst of not being able to see what's going on. Scripture tells us what? Scripture tells us in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. I love this. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Honestly, that's a break because my understanding, the section I see, is such a limited vision. The other day, actually it was Trinity Sunday, and a wonderful priest shared in his homily, he was comparing the Holy Trinity. And he was telling the story that his mom runs a camp for her grandkids during the summer. And she's got four of her grandkids while the mom and dad both work. Okay, and it sounded so fabulous. I thought, if I was a kid, I'd want to be in that camp. But what he shared with us was he brought up this poster because the children, in order, you know, to learn a little bit about enterprise and business, this grandmother, I think, brilliantly came up with this idea of how these kids could be involved in this enterprising venture, and they could make bracelets and they could sell them, and they learned, you know, all about manufacturing, cost of items, being able to market it, get it out to the potential customers. He went on and on. It was awesome. And basically he showed us the sign that was used and how his mom, the grandmother, went through many steps. The children were finding out on their own the various things they needed to know, and it was a wonderful lesson. She was able, under her tutelage, to allow that to occur and to be able to point out, hey, what about this? What about that? You know, how about being grateful for the customer? All these things. But he put up a sign that the children had done, and it was precious. And it was a kid's kind of artistically drawn poster. And on that poster, it was that bracelets were for sale. And here it was on poster board that was somewhat flimsy. And here was this cute message, and there were smiley faces and the whole bit. And Father went on to explain. He said that when he was praying about the Trinity and what words he would use for the homily, he said that it came to him that our understanding of the Trinity, of God's ways, is somewhat like that sign, like what the children were learning about business and free enterprise and that sort of thing, that we're on a very remedial level. And so I share that because my sense of understanding, that's what I love when Scripture says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because what, friends? Our understanding is just a glimpse, if we can even call it that, a glimpse, a wink of what God is all about. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. So for many of us, at least for me, I can tell you that I often have what I mentioned a moment ago, which is a divided heart. You know, a heart that trusts in God, prays, and then a heart that relies on myself. And having a divided heart is like being divided against ourselves. You know, it's a tug of war. Only the tug of war is inside of you and me. And all we're doing is destroying ourselves, you know, pulling at one end and then tugging from the other, and we're fighting against ourselves. In the midst of this division, there can be what? Overthinking, justifying, exhaustion, ego, drama, rationalizing, with sprinkled in there a few feel-good moments, only to be back in the mess again, sort of like, you know, experiencing pleasure. It's momentary. This kind of division of heart, it's diminishing and exhausting. So here's the story that I heard from an awesome Carmelite nun in California. And she was talking about a divided heart. And she was saying nobody can be happy with a divided heart. Okay, that idea of one minute we're going to do it together, all right? And the next minute we're doing it on our own, or we're going back and forth. And here's what she said. Here's how the story goes. This is a take on an old Cherokee legend, and it's called The Wolves Within. Once there was a young Native American girl who went to her wise grandmother. She told her grandmother that inside of her, it seemed like there were two voices. One was jealous and competitive and fearful, worrisome, self-critical, insecure, you know, occupied with self continually. And the other was one of trust, faith, peace, encouragement, love, strength, kindness, particularly kindness and gentleness towards oneself. A voice that said, there is more, more within you. Surrender to God. The grandmother listened and said, my daughter, you have two wolves living within you. One is filled with greed, selfishness, control, fear, and the illusion that you're not good enough. And that wolf will divide you against yourself. He'll rip you apart. And then there's the other wolf. He tells you that you're made for greatness, that you're made for God. He tells you that you're beautiful and you're kind, that you're swift and strong, that you have all you need within you, with the grace of God, to accomplish more than you ever thought possible. The wise grandmother went on to say, these two wolves cannot live together. It's impossible. The young girl then hesitantly asked, which one will live? And her grandmother smiled and answered quietly, the one that you feed. The one that you feed. Which voice are you feeding right now? Whether a voice that's right there in the world clamoring for your attention, or the voice within your own mind or heart. What voice are you going to feed? Division or peace? That voice within our own hearts and our minds, that voice, many times, and I don't even know if it's in our heart, but that voice within our minds can also be a voice that rips us apart. If that voice within our heart or our mind is about division, if it's about division with those we love, division that can hurt others, I'm not talking about the idea of separating ourselves from sin, separating ourselves from those forces that cause us to sin. I'm talking about that which causes division and disunity in God's holy people. If we are finding that we're leaning in that direction, that's where we have to really pull back and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. If I want to go fast, I go it alone. If I want to go farther, I go together. The Catechism teaches us in section 2563. This is really cool. The heart is the dwelling place where I am, where I live, according to biblical expression. The heart is the place to, quote, to which I withdraw. The heart is our hidden center, beyond the grasp of our reason and of others. Only the Spirit of God can fathom the human heart and know it fully. The heart is the place of decision, deeper than our psychic drives. It's the place of truth where we choose life or death. Our little story talks about what? What voice do you and I feed? Do we feed the voice of jealousy or resentment or fear or haven't got what that one's got or competition or I'm missing out? Or do we feed that voice that says, Father God, you're on the throne. I don't quite see everything at all right now, and it's not looking real good, but I trust you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I trust what I cannot see. Lord, I believe. Help my lack of belief. Let me hold on. Let me believe in you. Let me have faith. you and I do what? When we're feeding the wrong voice, not our true voice, when we're feeding that voice, perhaps fear, watching and reading the news constantly, tuned into social media like crazy, pushing, stressing, versus what? Versus prayer, a heart-to-heart talk with God. How about taking care of ourselves, giving God everything, giving Him maybe our best hour? You know, which wolf are you and I feeding? God's will versus my will, your will. Who's on the throne? You, me, or God? A holy priest shared, and I just heard this the other day. I loved it. It was a priest from Franciscan University, and unfortunately, I can't remember his name. But he said, purgatory is filled with folks who did good works that God hadn't called them to. Purgatory is filled with folks who do good works, who've done good works that God never called them to do. Invariably, this is true confessions, God has me do less than I think. When I take the time to pray and ask God at the beginning of my day what that's supposed to all look like, my plans, His plans, what's the story, Lord? When I do that, invariably, I find I'm doing less than I thought, or at least I have some time to do some things that are honestly a bit enjoyable. The other day, I actually had an opportunity to read a few chapters from a book on finance that I've really been wanting to read. Now, that doesn't sound like the joy of life, but honestly, for me, this is something that's been put off. Maybe you find that in your life. There are books you want to read, or at least you want to pick up again. There's a program you might want to enjoy watching. There's somebody you want to call. There's somebody you like to visit. Those things, when we are in balance with our Lord, when we allow Him to be the king of our time, to tell us what it is we're called to do, it's amazing that we can find some time to do those things that seem to keep getting put off. My mom, who's in her later wisdom years, says that she finds invariably the same thing is true for her. When the Lord takes care of her time, when she begins giving our Lord a bit of that time, whatever it might be, some of you may be having children, you may be ill, you may not have, time does not feel like your friend. But my friends, all of us can for a moment bring our minds and our hearts to our God and say, Jesus, I surrender. Here I am. Holy Spirit, beloved of my soul, I adore you and I love you. Enlighten me, guide me, console me. Tell me what I should do. Give me your orders. I promise to submit myself to all that you wish me to do and accept all that you allow to happen to me. It's easier to do that, my friends, when we remember Romans 8:28. And what does God say to us in Scripture? He says what? That He will bring all things will come to good for those who love Him. So those impossible situations that may be occurring in our lives, those points that we've been praying for year after year after year, and we haven't seen a change, and we're ready to throw our hands up or think, what the heck, it's not worth it. Those are the very moments when we are called to believe, to know that some way, somehow, that we may not see the answer in our prayer, but there's a deeper truth going on, and that God promises above all things that He will bring good out of our sadness. He will bring good out of all that occurs in our lives. St. Edith Stein, who is St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, she talks about this in such a beautiful way. And she understood, you know, the pressures of life. She really did. It's pretty remarkable. And this would have been, I think she died in 19, or it's understood that she would have died around 19, in the 1940s, around 1945. But here is a quote by her, which is just so absolutely beautiful. And it is, the duties and cares of the day ahead crowd about us when we awake in the morning. That is, if they have not already dispelled our night's rest. Now arises the uneasy question, and again, I'm quoting from St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, how can all this be accommodated in one day? When will I do this? When that? Thus agitated, we would like to run around and rush forth. We must then take the reins in hand and say, take it easy. Not any of this may touch me now. My first morning's hour belongs to the Lord. I will tackle the day's work which He charges me with, and He will give me the strength to accomplish it. Look at that. I mean, it's so awesome. We must then take the reins in hand and say, take it easy. Not any of this is going to touch me now. Basically, I have a moment and it belongs to the Lord, and I'm doing it. I'm giving Him that moment, and everything else that's tugging at my mind, my heart, tackling it, you know, tackling the day's work, whatever lies ahead of me, I will wait first on my Lord, and He will give me the power to accomplish it. And by the way, this is an excerpt taken from Embracing Edith Stein, Wisdom for Women, from St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross by Ann Costa. Ann Costa's a great author. I've had another book of hers that I've just really treasured. So again, this is St. Edith Stein, and it's from Ann Costa's book. So she goes on to speak to those of us who are like, you know what, I have no time. Sounds great, really cool, glad it's working for you, but you know what, folks, you don't know my life. Here's what she says. Each person must know or get to know where and how peace can be found. The best way is before the tabernacle. But when that isn't possible, and a quiet hour is not an option, and when there is no place to retreat to, she's speaking to women here, but I would humbly say that this is for men as well. She goes on to say, she must for a moment seal herself off inwardly against all other things and take refuge in the Lord. My friends, that's even if it's just a moment, if it's just 5 minutes, stepping away and thinking, wow, Lord, as my dear friend MB has said, she gives me lots of wisdom. She says it's called pause, which is what? Postpone action until serenity emerges. And my sister, who's involved with Al-Anon, talks about that as well. Pause, postpone action until serenity emerges. Take those few moments to just be one with God. Step away. Believe. Believe whether you feel it. Remember, what does Scripture tell us? Rely not on your own understanding. Just do it. Just do it. And so in the end, what's the story here? Once again, Scripture. Philippians 4, verse 6. I love this one. Have no anxiety at all. That's worth repeating. I was at a wedding. My niece, actually, she's named after me, little Debbie. Her wedding, the priest, he's awesome, Father Roberto Marie. He was up there, and his homily was, looking at all of us, have no anxiety at all. And then he paused. And we just sat there and thought, did he just say that? In the midst of a world that's going nuts, in the midst of our own lives that we're like, what's going on here, there, everywhere, everything that pulls on us, pushes on us, everything, the way we're pulled, divided, whatever, have no anxiety at all. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And so, my friends, this day, think about, if I want to go fast, I go alone. If I want to go farther, I go together. I go with God, God being the source and summit of my life, giving Him, whether it's that first best hour of my morning or the first best 5 minutes, whatever is my best, He's deserving of whatever I can muster up at that moment. That idea of stepping back into that space of letting go, where it can be God and it can be me together. I could go faster the other way, but I'll go much farther, with the grace of God, with God's will being done versus mine. And so this day, ask our Lord, just think, take a moment, just to be good to yourself for a minute, and sit and breathe a moment. Ask Jesus to come and enter your mind and your heart, and think about where it is that maybe, whether it's ego, fear, you know, frustration on things that didn't work out, whatever might be driving you to want to get through things quickly, fast, and alone, that wherever that might be happening in your life, that God, the Holy Spirit, our Lord, Father God, sweet Jesus, will inspire you and give you a thought as to how you can step away from that, let go, and be able to join with others who can help you. It's sort of like my husband told me the other day, Deb, it's like the basketball player who wants to do everything by himself. And he thinks that he can do it. He knows in the past there have been mistakes, and so the only way to avoid that is do it himself. And he may think all of that, but in the end, he may very well lose the game. If that player has decided instead to work with his team, to share by passing, by working together, to getting through the bumps that are tough, but making it happen, together they can win the game. Thanks for tuning into The Splendor of You. God bless you. Know that you're in my prayers. I pray for the listening audience, and I pray that we all grow from the splendor that is within us, the hand of God upon our minds and hearts. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in to The Splendor of You. That's www.splendorofyou.com, www.splendorofyou.com.
This has been The Splendor of You with Debbie Sansone-Schlaprezy.